Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yo, Bills Mafia, Stevie Johnson, a.k.a. Mr. Why So Serious. Let me hear you say it. Bills by a billion. Let's go, Bills. One Buffalo.
That is Stevie Johnson, courtesy of Jeff Russo over at Channel 7. He got in touch with Stevie and tweeted out that message from the former Bills wide receiver. Happy Thursday.
A couple things about this game. The Bills have been good for a while. They're on a winning streak. I don't know if you know that.
I'll check my
numbers. I'll send you an email.
Would you, please? Thank you.
A lot of people will... I've seen a few people on Twitter and email have asked me, or have just see conversations. You know, you might have had a Christmas gift or a gift that was a jersey. I bring this up because I have a Stevie Johnson jersey. I also have a Stephon Diggs jersey. The idea is, hey, you got a new jersey for Christmas, but the Bills have been winning, and the one you were wearing before, are you afraid to put on the new one?
Yeah, don't do it.
Because you don't want to. You're doing that? You can't mess with it?
Yeah, I have some. I'm not overly superstitious. I'm actually more superstitious about sports than life in general. You know, I'll walk on a crack. I don't care. I'll walk under a ladder. Don't change the jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, I would not change the jersey.
I mean, I've had a bunch of different jerseys and outfits for these games.
Yeah.
Since I don't have any rhyme or reason, do I just keep going with no rhyme or reason? It doesn't matter. Or do I have to match last week because it was the playoff game and now the playoffs are different?
Yeah, playoffs are different. That's exactly
okay, so match exactly what I wore last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, geez, I got to figure out what the hell I wore last week. Playoffs are different because, again, my sports superstitions are less crazy in the regular season. Each week as we go deeper into the playoffs and they keep winning, don't you change a thing.
Okay.
Wear the same cap.
Well.
Wear the same jersey.
In that case... I mean, you're telling a lot of people that might have had like a Josh Allen jersey for Christmas to not wear it because they'll jinx the team.
Just hang on to it. You know, you can wear it at the Super Bowl parade. How's that? Is that okay?
Okay.
I say that quietly because I don't want to jinx it. But I would. I don't know why. As we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs, I get more crazy.
Yeah. Well,
we've
got a matchup here with Baltimore that I love this matchup. I mentioned earlier that I am recklessly optimistic. I feel really good about the Bills' chances against this team. And we've talked about how the Bills are against the blitz and how Baltimore likes to blitz. I saw this last night. I wanted to play it. It's a quick little conversation between Ross Tucker, who we've had on the show, radio.com insider Ross Tucker, and ESPN's Matt Bowen. And if you follow Matt Bowen, you'll see film breakdowns, a lot of stuff that he does about, you know, all the teams. And he's done stuff on the Bills, too. And I think Ross's question about the Ravens' defense, what they do, and Matt's answer about how that matches up, there's two things to listen for in here. One, I think, is the entire, this is the game plan. This is what the game comes down to, what Matt's going to talk about here. And also in here is what I think is possibly the highest compliment Josh Allen has ever been paid. Okay? It's about 2 minutes. So just here you go. Ross Tucker, Matt Bowen on Bills Ravens.
How do you think Martindale plays that, Matt, in terms of pressure, in terms of man coverage against those Bills receivers?
That's a great question, Ross, because I looked at the numbers last night writing a piece for ESPN. And Baltimore during the regular season had the second highest blitz rate in the NFL behind Pittsburgh. And they're also top five in terms of man coverage snaps. I wouldn't play a bunch of man, Ross. I just wouldn't. Not against Josh Allen. One, because Daboll is so good at scheming up man coverage. He'll condense the formations. He'll get guys free releases off the ball, and he'll create traffic in the middle of the field for run and catch opportunities for John Brown, Stephon Diggs, and Beasley. We've seen it all year from that Bills offense. And I agree. I love the Baltimore secondary. I love their play style. I love how they're aggressive and physical in coverage. So he will get some man. I think you need to be a little bit more zone heavy in this matchup. Also, what that leads into is Josh Allen. You know, his I call it check and reaction ability. You know, basically his ability to escape the pocket and get outside. And if you're playing man coverage in those situations, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Josh can pull the ball down and run. He can create big plays with his legs. What you're seeing also with Josh right now and throughout the entire regular season and the playoff game last week is he's moving the throw. And when he's moving the throw right now, he's pretty dialed in. I mean, he can throw from any platform. He's putting the ball where it's supposed to go. His accuracy or ball location has been really on point. So, for me, if I'm a defense coordinator, I will bring some pressure. There's no doubt because I'm the Baltimore Ravens. I bring more what I call simulated pressure when you're trying to confuse protection counts. But you're protected in the back end. You can play two deep behind. You can play quarters. You can play cover three behind. But I'm doing that so I have zone eyes on Josh when he does escape contain, and I can limit them in terms of their explosive playability with two deep or a single high safety over the top.
So the reason I say that all that is the biggest compliment Josh Allen's ever been paid is because, to me, Howard, the big picture of what Matt Bowen just said is, hey, Baltimore, I love what you guys do. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, single high safety, I think you are playing with fire. Like, they could do that against Tennessee, which they did. I think that's a bad idea against the Bills.
Yeah. Hey, you like to play man? You can't play man against this team.
Yeah.
You like to throw blitzes? You can't do that against it. It reminds me of when it's when the guy is – I mean, this happens with a lot of the great players in the league. Mahomes, right? When the Bills play Mahomes,
yeah.
What did they do? They played a style of defense that they don't normally play because they thought – and we talked about their strategy that week as, well, trying something different is not a bad thing. You know, you want to keep the score down. You want to keep the game close because you know how explosive they are. So you're going to try something different. And it did keep the score down, but they didn't get the stops they needed with their new defense. They didn't blitz Mahomes a single time.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing Matt Bowen there, I think about the way that we talk about Mahomes. That's how he's talking about Josh Allen. Well, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this because he's going to kill you. And – you know, as you and I and Sal talked about it yesterday, and we'll talk to Sal again today, if Baltimore does what you and Sal both think, and a lot of people think they will do, which is you gotta dance with the date you brought. You know, you gotta be who you are on some level. If they are that, I mean, I'm with Matt Bowen. I don't see how Baltimore can play the way they do play, and beat this Bills team. Because if the Bills are doing what they do, they beat that all the time.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do. I know their defensive coordinator, Don Martindale, Wink Martindale, I guess is right nickname, right? He came out yesterday and said, basically, I think he said, you know, we are who we are, and I'm sure Josh is going to expect pressure because that's what we do. I honestly actually thought, is he setting him up? Like, does he say
right.
Josh is expecting season. Pressure because he knows he's throwing a different game plan on him? I did see that and think, I wonder if he's screwing with the Bills here a little bit. For what it's worth... There were only two games this year where anybody threw for over 300 yards against the Ravens. And that includes the playoff game against Tennessee. One was Kansas City and the other one was Cleveland, where Baltimore won, but it was 47-42. It was a shootout.
Yeah.
So Mark Gaughan had some stats in his article in the Buffalo News about the blitz. And he brought up 2019 and how often they blitzed Josh, and it was a bad day for him. It was, I think, his season low completion percentage, all that stuff. They lead the league in zero coverage, so man coverage with no safety help. Against Mahomes this year, you brought up what the Bills did against Mahomes. The Bills changed their defensive game plan, right?
They were totally. Like, they changed who they are, kind of. For
absolutely.
A game.
And, yep. And it for what it's worth, they lost, but it was a one-score game. It was there for the taking, so the game plan, to an extent, worked.
Right,
because it was there. It was there.
Yeah, it didn't plan on the offense only having 206 total yards.
Right. And 17 points or whatever the heck they ended with. So the Ravens played Mahomes in week three. They stayed with what they do. They blitzed him. They actually blitzed him more than their season average. Their season average is 49% or 41%. They blitzed him 49% of the time. So on almost half of his dropbacks, they blitzed him. They lost 34-20. It's one of the two games this year. Now it's Mahomes. I know it. It's Mahomes. It's one of the two games this year where the Ravens gave up a 300-yard passer. The other one was Cleveland. I don't have blitz numbers in terms of what they did against Baker Mayfield. I don't know. But they stayed true to their identity against Kansas City, and Kansas City beat them 34-20. Now, if I had to guess, I would assume they're going to do the same thing against the Bills, at least to start the game, and maybe go and say, okay, Josh, prove it to us. Prove it to us that you are better at handling pressure, that you are more adept at beating the blitz, that you can pick us apart if we go man coverage. Now, I will say two names to keep in mind that might also change that strategy is Marcus Peters playing. If Marcus Peters isn't playing, now they're still good with Marlon Humphrey and Jimmy Smith, but that's their leading interceptor, their ball hawk. That's a big factor out of their secondary if Peters' back injury keeps him from playing. One of their edge rushers is on the DNP list, Matthew Judon. He's out with an illness. No word on whether he's going to play Saturday or not. So maybe that's a factor in terms of what they're doing. Mark Gohn pointed out, Jeremy, that tying into the whole, we blitz, we go man, we don't have safety help. When they do blitz, they like to use defensive backs. You know, do they still do that? I don't know. They tend to use DBs because they don't have necessarily great speed guys on the edge in their front seven, so they use DBs in their blitz packages. You know, again, that might be playing with fire against Josh Allen. If I were the Bills, I would guess they do what they do, that they will blitz and they will send extra rushers, and then we have to beat that, and then maybe they get out of that eventually. But I would think they're going to at least try the same game plan at the start.
I wonder, you know, you said that only two quarterbacks have thrown for 300 yards against them. It's Mayfield and Mahomes. I mean, young guys that play. I mean, like, it's funny, the young guys of the AFC. I wonder if part of the reason that that's the case is because if Baltimore is such a run-heavy team, wouldn't there be fewer possessions in a game so you're less likely to throw for 300 yards? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, they've had a good defense for sure. The quarterbacks they've beaten. Is it murderer's row? I mean, a lot of times when we talk about, well, who have you played, we talk about that in terms of who are the quarterbacks that you've played against. And for the Browns this year, outside of their division, I'm sorry, not the Browns, Ravens. The Ravens played Houston and beat them early in the season. Washington, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, they beat Indianapolis and they handled them 24-10. You know, they've played some good ones along the way, right? It's not a complete list of cupcakes. I mean, you do have the last few games, you know,
Tannehill, you know, right?
No, they lost to Tannehill.
No, I mean in the playoffs.
In overtime. Oh, the playoffs, right. Yeah, I mean, so they've done a good enough job. They've played some of the best, but, I mean, Mahomes and the Chiefs putting up 34, that's way back in September.
Yeah, and there's an asterisk, let me tell you, at least there is a little bit of an asterisk to the Cleveland game. One, the Browns were behind. By the second quarter, they were down like 14 points. So, you know, we know Cleveland likes to run the ball. They started throwing the ball maybe normally more than they normally would, I should say, because they were playing from behind most of the rest of the game. So they started throwing the ball. They got back in the game, actually took a lead, and then, of course, Lamar Jackson had the game-winning drive. And the other thing is, in that game, they were banged up in the secondary. I think they were without one of the three cornerbacks, Smith, Peters, not Humphrey. He played for sure. I think one of those guys might have missed the game, and the other, another guy went down with a calf injury in the second half, and they were really beat up in the secondary. They were playing guys that normally wouldn't be on the field in roles they would be in that game, and I think that might have also contributed to Baker throwing for 300-plus yards. But I'm interested to see, like I said, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of blitzes, versus they play a 3-4. So I don't know what they're going to do in terms of three-man rush, four-man rush, 5, 6, 7. I think if they do play single high safety, if they challenge the Bills, or like they did the last time they were here, when they crept the free safety up a little closer to the line than normal and challenged the Bills to beat them over the top, I do think that's nuts. From their standpoint, I'd like to see them do it because I think the Bills will crush that. But I think that's a little bit of a different discussion in terms of whether you're playing man and how much are you blitzing. I think they should, you know, keep safeties back and take away the deep ball. And then maybe you can still get away. I don't know. I'm not sure what they'll do with coverage, but I would expect them to still send some rushes instead of 7. Maybe it's 5, you know, instead of 6. Again, maybe it's more predominantly a 5-man rush instead of sending multiple blitzers against Josh Allen.
We'll see how everybody feels tomorrow and then Saturday, like I said, recklessly optimistic. I feel good about the matchup. I was nervous about the Colts matchup, but thought they would win. And this one I feel better about.
Yeah.
And it's funny. If they do win and play Kansas City, you know, you've said that you like that matchup better than this one even.
Well, I think if they get to that point, right, if they win this game and they get to Kansas City, I'm gonna guess we're gonna spend all week talking about Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and, oh my God, the Bills have trouble against tight ends. How are you gonna stop Travis Kelce? And I think we'll talk a lot about what's the game plan. You know, essentially, are you going rope-a-dope or are you going right to the middle of the ring, go toe-to-toe and exchange blows? And I don't, whatever. That's a story for next week if we get to that point. I just think in terms of defensively, not that Kansas City doesn't have some good guys on the defensive side of the ball. I just think in terms of philosophically what the other team does, I don't think Kansas City would have the corners to hold up like Baltimore could if they decide to put these guys on an island. Yep. And I would not be as worried about Kansas City's pass rush as much as I would Baltimore. From that standpoint, let's face it, any game we talk about with the Bills, what's the first thing you think about? All right, what's the defense like? Because we know the Bills' offense is carrying this team. Specifically, their passing game has been the best part of this team this season. So any game we get into, I'm always thinking about what's their pass defense like, and that's why I think Baltimore is problematic more than Kansas City, and I'm going to guess maybe more than anybody else in the NFC that could come out into a Super Bowl matchup.
The superstitious fans have sent in a few stories here, talking about, you know, the jersey you wear. Rob says, not superstitious, but I switched to Beasley. Switched from my Beasley to my Allen jersey, and they've been winning ever since.
When did Bill he make says, the switch, though? That was before the playoffs.
Yes, before the playoffs.
All right. That's okay. That's allowable. I think once you start the playoffs with a specific jersey, you should not change it.
Phil says he's worn the same Thurman jersey, hoodie, and sweatpants since the San Francisco game.
Oh, nice touch.
And he
they haven't lost.
It's Nick, actually. And he has not confirmed or not whether or not they've been washed.
Don't wash them then.
Actually, this is my favorite one. This is from Ray. Ray in the Adirondacks texts in. Usually our Christmas tree is down by now, but I convinced my wife to leave the tree up because my new Josh Allen jersey is still under it, and I won't move it until after the Super Bowl.
Wow. That's a lot of watering.
I mean, keeping a Christmas tree up.
Fresh this long, too, right?
If they do go to the Super Bowl till, you know,
February 7th, I think it is, right, or whatever day it is.
I mean, there's superstitious, and then there's keeping a Christmas tree. That's dedication.
That's a good month and a half, right? A little more than a month and a half with the Christmas tree up.
One other thing about this game that's kind of interesting or fun, you know, fans that are going to be there again. So last week, if you went, maybe that means you're not going this week, right? They went to a different pod of fans.
Right, wouldn't they have gone to the next set, right? The next group, I think.
So there were some that would have maybe waited and pushed their luck and said, if they go next week, then I'll want to go to the game. And, you know, if you have a pod of two or four, that's what you can do, that you get pods of two or four.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have a group that's normally three and your friends or your friend group is five? Is there some sort of other feats of strength to determine who goes?
Short straws.
Right. Who gets left out in the cold?
Feats of strength.
Or who actually goes out in the cold. And with that also, too, like our group, where we go to the games where we sit, there's a bunch of us. My father-in-law got a pod of two, so it's just him and my brother-in-law. And, you know, the people that usually watch the game together, if you are not all going together, maybe two out of your group of seven or four out of eight are going, it kind of ends up fracturing your normal group. So, you know, this weekend, we've watched outside with family. This weekend, it'll be a much, much smaller crowd for us because they're going to be at this game. So it's just kind of a funny dynamic how, you know, I'm not trying to say families are torn apart, but they kind of are.
Yeah.
If you have a big group that would like to go together, or if you want to go with four, but you got the pot of two, who decides who goes?
That's tough.
It is tough. I also had a message sent from Stuart who asked, he's going with his kids to this game, and said, would like to put up a sign going with his kids. What sign is most likely to get on television? If you and your kids want to get on TV.
Boy. Huh. I'm not really good at signs. Do you have any? What would get you on TV? Do you have to work like the network logo into the sign? Something with the peacock or NBC. No beating. Oh, crap. Not the Colts. Geez, if only the Bills' nickname started with C. No beating Cole? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, I think a good sign, anytime there's snow in the forecast, you bring a sign that says, let it snow, you're in good shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts snowing, they go right to your sign.
Although it would be let it snow, right?
Oh, for Deion Dawkins.
For Deion Dawkins, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if NBC would get that, but yeah.
And
fun.
Let's be honest.
That's good.
Apparently, for last week's game, there were a lot of signs. Because now that with everybody spread out,
yeah,
you don't have to worry if your sign's blocking somebody's
right.
view
yeah.
because you know that it's not. So mm-hmm. a little bit of a throwback to a time where people used to bring a lot of signs into the stadium.
I like signs. Signs are always fun.
They yeah. are fun, right, of course. So,
I like signs at hockey games. Baseball. Yeah, I grew up with the famous sign guy at Mets games was there all the time with signs. It was great.
That's definitely dipped, not just at Bills games, but all around the sports world. You do not see signs the same because people complain that they can't see.
Sit down, I can't see through your sign. Yeah, that would be problematic now.
So that is kind of a nice side effect that you are now able to think of this creative sign, and there were a ton out at the game against the Colts. I saw a lot of pictures, Facebook, Twitter, just people showing their signs. Really cool stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to go with let it snow or –
trying to think how to work in Al Michaels with Josh Allen. I'm just trying to do something to suck up to NBC.
How about I'm Gene Steratore's biggest fan?
Terry McCauley. Terry McCauley. Yeah. Yeah, you got to get your supervising official there, correct.
You know the rules official's going to get on the you could say Terry just a sign that says Terry McCauley is the best.
Yeah.
Maybe that gets on.
It's not good that we reached a point where we know each network's rules official by heart. Right? Mike Pereira, Dean Blandino, Terry McCauley, Gene Steratore. She's out of all the college football guys.
Who's
down.
Who's Pereira? Is he Fox?
Yeah. Fox is Blandino and Pereira.
Okay.
Well, maybe Blandino does college games now, but I know he's on Fox. Yeah, it's not good. Hey, when we get back, we are taking your calls.
What about a shout-out to Al Michaels? Do you believe in miracles?
And the Bills winning the Super Bowl or something?
If you're trying to get on TV, I don't know.
Right. The Bills, were they Super Bowl LV logo on the sign? Who's got? Oh no, the CBS has the Super Bowl this year, right? Not NBC. I don't know that would matter. Yeah, maybe Al Michaels would appreciate that sign. That's true.
How about we want the Chiefs?
I would.
Then you're guilty of not going one game at a time.
Yeah,
you're looking ahead.
I wouldn't necessarily advise that.
How about no? Listen, you got to plan for multiple. You bring that sign, but you don't show it until the fourth quarter when it's clear they're going to win.
I got it. That's fine. So yeah, we're not doing this at the kickoff at the start of the game.
No.
All right, good. Because I don't want to mess with the football gods too much.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like me picking them to win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm pushing my luck here. I don't want to really go beyond that. Let's see. So anyway, phone lines are open, 803-0550. Bills, Ravens, Sabres season. We're talking about it all this morning. When we get back, it is the return of one Martin Biron. We're very excited about this. He and his blue eyes are going to be with us every Thursday morning at 7:30 through hockey season. He is coming up next on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is in the best game shape of everybody here. He's played a lot of hockey. That's something that will definitely help him bring his game into the National Hockey League. But yeah, we definitely trust him. I mean, he's a very responsible player, extremely smart and coachable. Just watching him in practice, the decisions he makes with and without the puck, we think he's ready for a pretty big load right off the hop. But only time will tell for all of us. It'll be the first game in a long time. There are a lot of unknowns going into this game, and you know, we're just excited to finally get going. And Dylan is one of the many pieces we're looking forward to seeing in action.
Sabres coach Ralph Krueger. We're going to be talking about them in a moment with Marty. Bills injury report, same for the second straight day. Limited practice yesterday for Diggs, Beasley, Edmonds, Oliver, Zimmer, DNP, Daryl Johnson. Two DNPs of note for Baltimore. Matthew Judon with an illness, linebacker, and cornerback Marcus Peters back. Bills News brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. The Sabres play Washington tonight downtown, 7 o'clock, right here on WGR. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 6. Opening night last night in the NHL included an East Division matchup with Philadelphia beating Pittsburgh 6-3. John Tortorella confirmed that, yes, indeed, Pierre-Luc Dubois would like to be traded out of Columbus. The big trade in the NBA yesterday, a four-team deal. The big name that moved, James Harden from Houston to the Brooklyn Nets. College hoops, St. Bonaventure beat Fordham in a 10 play. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up.
How does a four-team trade come together like that with that many pieces?
It's a lot of pieces, right?
Yeah. You see three teams trading and the Cavs come in and say, yo, can we get what's going on here?
We want in on this one.
We'll take something. We'll give you something.
Right?
We just want a part of this.
That is a big, big, big deal there. Yeah. We are joined and happy to announce once again every Thursday morning at 7:30 during hockey season by Marty Baron. His appearance on WGR brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Hi, Marty. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Listen, that trade in the NBA, if it was fantasy football, the commissioner would have vetoed the trade and not let it happen. That's how tough it is to make trades in fantasy football, because when you're with your buddies, nobody wants to like lose a trade, right? So it would never have happened.
I will ask you by the end of your segment, hopefully I won't forget, for your Bills prediction. But of course, we have Sabres hockey tonight. I guess, you know what, Marty, one thing I'm wondering about, maybe not as much for the goalies since you pretty much stay in your crease, but for the Sabres players, how do you think they'll be? How will they look? How will the game play out? They haven't played in 10 months. There was a short camp. There were no preseason games. What's it going to be like for them tonight?
Well, I think what we saw last night is two things. One, the goalies, as you pointed out, like it's not easy to be in mid-season form after so long, especially when you look at the Sabres, like Linus Ullmark. He hasn't played in, what is it, 10 months,
10
11
months?
So,
yeah.
I mean, that is so long for not having playing games. So you saw the goalies last night, a couple of bad goals here and there, not in perfect form through 60 minutes. So I think that's something to expect early in the first couple of weeks, 3 weeks here of the season. Two, the top players in the game not having clean handle of the puck. Malkin, Crosby did not look extremely like good in their game, and that's going to happen. McKinnon struggling with the puck. McDavid struggling with the puck a little bit. So it's more about hard work, effort, speed, skating. That's what it's going to take in the first 3 weeks of the season. It's not so much going to be skill. So if you're Jack Eichel or if you're Taylor Hall, it's not about, oh, I'm going to go through the team, I'm going to dipsy-doodle around everybody. No, it's just going to be get the puck in, get some speed to the puck, really establish that forecheck. I know it's kind of like in football, saying, hey, let's get the ground game going, like the run game. That's what it takes early, and then we're going to be able to pass. Well, it's what the Sabres are going to have to do here in the first 3 weeks maybe of the season.
The you mentioned goaltending. So last season, the Sabres' overall save percentage was .900. It was tied for 22nd in the NHL. Where is your confidence level on the duo of Ullmark and Hutton this season?
Well, I thought Hutton looked good in camp. The very first scrimmage, he looked really good, and that's going to be the support that Linus Ullmark and the Sabres are going to need. Now, if you look at last year, the save percentage, as you pointed out, was not where it needed to be. I think this year, as a tandem, it needs to be .915 and above. Linus Ullmark alone, I think, needs to be in the .920s. But most importantly, at 5-on-5, Linus Ullmark was really good. Mm-hmm. Save percentage was good. It's the penalty kill that really hurt his overall save percentage and really hurt the Sabres. So let's see if Toby Reeder, Riley Sheahan, Cody Eakin, and those guys, if they really make a difference on the penalty kill. And that would be where the Sabres, I think, need to be more improved. Like, scoring more goals, yes, but killing penalties is going to be a huge aspect of their success this year.
Marty, when the Sabres definitely went out and looked for specifically penalty killers because it was so bad last year, and maybe they make some changes to the structure of it. But when you're looking for, if you're an NHL team that says, all right, we've got to find a forward that can kill penalties, and it's a very specialized position, what set of skills would they be looking for, and what did they find in the players they got?
Well, I think it has to be a smart player. And you know, what does he do with the puck, number one, when he has the puck in the defensive zone? Is it the guy that hangs on to it? Can he make the clear? The clears are so important. They kill about 20 seconds, I believe, every time you clear the puck down the ice. It may take 10 seconds for the other team to recover, another 5 seconds to get in the zone, another 5 maybe to get established in the zone. So the clears are really important. Two, quickness. How do you get in and out of position? Like, it's not about skating speed down the ice, 180 feet down the ice. It's about inside of 10 feet. How do these forwards respond to getting out to the point man, and then the pass is made to the half wall, and then they recover, they stop, and turn back and put pressure on the half wall. Then all of a sudden, the puck is back to the point. They stop, they get back to the point. It's like that piston-like movement that the forwards have to do. And some forwards do it really well. Some forwards just are slow to doing it. Maybe you think, well, this guy's a fourth liner, he should be able to kill penalties, but he's not fast enough in that piston back and forth that he's caught out of position, and then passing lane and shooting lane opens up. So I think that's the number one thing. And you know, Reeder is quick on the full straightaway, but he's also quick in a short distance, and that helps him. Cody Eakin's an extremely smart player, so I think that helps him as well. So the structure, we'll see if the structure changes, but a lot of time in the National Hockey League, the structure on the penalty kill does not change a ton from team to team. There's little adjustments that you can make, yes, but it doesn't change overall. It doesn't change a ton. So we'll see how these guys do, and if they're able to be smart and be quick to make the PK a lot better.
The offense, Marty, we were talking earlier about, you know, the additions up front. Let's start with Hall. How have Hall, and for what it's worth, I mean, just basing it on practices, how have Hall and Eichel looked working together so far, and what are your expectations for that duo this season?
They look great. And Tage Thompson, obviously everybody knows, had a fantastic camp, is now playing on the right side on the top line, and he's earned that spot. And for me, I look at the second scrimmage. So last Saturday, we all got to see the Bills win in the afternoon, and then everybody, that thousands and thousands of fans, watched the stream online the Saturday night, right? So what you saw is in the first period, Eichel, Hall, and Thompson really had a couple of goals. They dominated. They made plays. And then after that, they kind of, you know, packed it in. And, you know, it, not that they didn't play good, but it just, it's a scrimmage. You've done your things. You've made your plays, and then you just kind of don't want to get hurt and you want to cruise control through the scrimmage. So I don't think Coach Kruger would say that is really what happened. But I, from what I looked at it, I'm just saying, like, Jack Eichel played his 20 minutes and then was like, okay, I'm going to wait until 3-on-3 overtime. But they looked really good. They seem to be connecting on passes. The speed is what I think is important, because Jack Eichel would carry the puck over the last few years and nobody was up with him. He always had to wait for somebody. Well, now he doesn't have to wait for Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall is right up there with him, sometimes even ahead of him. So Jack is going to be giving him the puck and benefiting from that speed on the left side.
And what about the Staal impact? What do you think his addition will mean to the roster and to the team?
Again, I think Eric Staal is a wily old veteran. Training camp is not really where you're going to exhaust yourself and go all out. But I thought Reinhardt and Staal really connected well. And again, Eric Staal is a left-handed shot, right? So he's going to have the chemistry and maybe more opportunity with his right winger. So his right winger, Sam Reinhardt. So those two really have to work well. When Staal gets the puck in the middle of the ice, his first look is going to be to the right side. I thought Sam Reinhardt looked good. I thought he has – some people were asking me, is Sam Reinhardt faster this year? I said, I don't know that he's faster, but what I've seen is he took a couple of shots that you know, raised my eyebrows. Like, wow, that was a really quick wrist shot. That was a really hard wrist shot. That was a quick snapshot. So maybe he's worked on his shot. Maybe we'll see if that creates anything for him and Eric Staal. But I think Eric Staal looked good, but – only in regular season form will we see really the true value of Eric Staal.
So what do you think for Saturday night? What is your Bills prediction? Have you sat down this week and done some research on this one?
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. And I don't know. I think as you get closer and closer to the Super Bowl, you're going to get tighter and tighter games, tighter defenses. The weather is going to be a factor in this. So I don't know. I mean, listen, Baltimore is really good. I'm a little scared of Lamar Jackson and the way that he's been able to play in the second half of the season. But I'm so excited. Listen, I was so pumped watching the game. I couldn't have a beer, really. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you this. So Saturday afternoon, the Bills are on. I'm working Saturday night. I'm like, am I going to have one beer or one drink, or am I going to stay, like, clean, right? And it's nerve-wracking to watch a Bills game when it's that close without having any alcohol. I did not like it. So I'm really happy Saturday night I'll be able to have a beer or two to calm my nerves a little bit. So that's the key of the game for me Saturday night, is to be able to sit and open up a cold one.
It's funny. I think sometimes when people get drunk, they tend to maybe talk a little more. I'm not sure what drunk Marty would be like.
I'm a lot quieter. but I dance more, so that's the problem.
All right. Well, then all for you having some beers before you go on with Brian Duff.
You know what? That would be great. You know, Duffer and I having a couple of
wobbly pops.
Special wobbly pops on the desk there. That would be pretty cool.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. We're looking forward to talking with you every Thursday morning. It's always a pleasure, Mr. Baran, and enjoy the hockey season.
Well, thank you, Howard, Jeremy. I'm so excited to be back. Hockey's back. It's going to be a fun season.
All right, Marty. Thank you, sir. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week. Marty Baran with us here on the Wester Hotline, and his weekly segment on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, and by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Got two games tonight and tomorrow night. Of course, every game this season here on WGR. And tonight and tomorrow night against Washington, 7 o'clock, so 6 o'clock pregame. And face off at 7. And then, of course, after the game, Brian Colesfield is back for another season hosting the postgame show. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll talk more Sabres coming up at 8:30. Paul's going to be with us. We'll talk more Bills football, too. We're getting your predictions on Bills Ravens, of course, and breaking down the matchup in all sorts of ways. And you can talk about your expectations for Sabres season 2. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Who would you say is the loudest in the team?
The loudest person on the team. I feel like Jay knows is a person that Josh Norman is a person definitely that I would say is the loudest on the team as far as just not caring about the surroundings of what's going on. He's just going to be himself. So he's
funny.
Definitely
he's a funny
guy that comes to mind. He's definitely a funny guy too because he talks. He tries to talk very intellectual, but the things that come out his mouth don't make sense. And it has you thinking, sit back thinking like, man, when Josh Norman leaves, what could I take from that conversation that is going to, you know, make me a better person? Anybody that jumps over a charging bull is crazy. And he was the guy to do that. So, yeah.
I did not know that. I learned that Josh Norman jumped over not one, but two charging bulls. That's Trey White and Christian Wade. So the Bills tweet out, like, I think it's Coffee with Christian or some segment with Christian Wade. And he
Coffee with the Bills.
Coffee with the Bills. Thank you. And Christian interviews teammates. So he had Trey White on. And I'm watching it because Trey's cool. He's fun to listen to. He's entertaining. And I'm sitting there going, what? Josh Norman jumped over a bull? Really? So he did. It's on YouTube. You can find it. July of 2019, he went to Pamplona, the running of the Bulls. Not only was he there with the running, he did it twice. Bulls coming at him, leaps over the bull. Said, I wanted to try it. Yeah, it was fun. He wanted the experience. He had to face the bull straight on. It was worth it. It was great. There you go. Josh Norman jumped over a bull twice.
I'm watching it right now.
It's pretty nutsy, stupid, crazy stuff. I got to tell you, I think I would not want to jump over. Of course, I don't have the hops yet that Josh Norman has. I would be gored. But that's a little on the risky side as far as I'm concerned. Hey, Josh Allen, if you're listening, don't jump over bulls in your offseason. Leave it for Josh Norman.
Running of the bulls, huh?
I mean, no, sir.
That's got to be something that's just in you that you want to.
Man,
running with them is one thing. He technically he runs at the bulls. He's not running with them.
That's what I'm saying. He went right at the bull and charged and jumped over them.
Yeah,
like he was taking it on.
Yeah,
this was not in the streets, right? They were in.
It's in the arena.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think the running of the bulls, the whole thing, there's so many people, you get trampled by bulls, you can get gored by bulls, you can get trampled by other people running to avoid the bulls. I'll just watch it on TV. It just doesn't really do much for me. Got a tweet about the Sabres and the broadcast. It's Rick and Rob and Dan. They're involved in the broadcast, and Brian and Marty are back. They will not be in the building for home games. They'll be in a studio. The broadcasters are allowed in the building for home games. Rob will not be between the bench. He'll be upstairs in the press box in the broadcast booth, and they'll be separated 6 feet, at least 6 feet, he and Rick. And I believe there's even some plexiglass they would put down between the two broadcasters. No one's traveling. Your team broadcasters do not go to road games. They stay home. They will do the broadcast off of monitors, basically like baseball teams were doing, their broadcast teams. What else? One other thing. I was reading John Vogel had a piece in The Athletic about all the different protocols. If there are fans in the building at some point, no Zamboni rides for fans, no T-shirt cannons, no rope line to greet the Sabres. I mean, no youth hockey games during intermission breaks. It's a lot of protocols you got to follow. But there's also one TV feed, so you might notice if you're watching the game on MSG, it sounds like the home team gets the interview between the first and second period with one of their players. Then it's a visiting team player in the second intermission and after the game. Whichever team wins, there is an interview made available with a player from the winning team, because they used to have their separate TV feeds. They're not doing that now. They're sharing one television feed for each game for both the home and the road team. So little tweaks. I don't know if you'd really care about that one, but you will notice some differences in terms of the broadcast approach this season.
One thing we get tonight is the first good look at the Royal Blue. How's it look on TV?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what matters a lot. I mean, you can have a jersey, and the question will be, well, how is it going to look once it gets on the ice, gets on TV? You know, a lot of teams are wearing new jerseys this year. The reverse retro, all that. A couple teams have changed their whole sets. So, yeah, we get our first look at the Sabres royal blue.
Should look sharp. I assume it'll look very nice on television. I think fans will be happy with that. We are talking both Sabres season opener and Bills Ravens with you. 803-0550 to join us. Sal's going to join us in a moment, and we'll talk more Bills football. Remind you that we've got lots of coverage this weekend. Someone tweeted earlier about what time our coverage begins. We're going with noon Saturday, okay? So you got all day long to listen to WGR and get ready for the kickoff. Sports Talk Saturday, noon to 3. We'll get you game day with Jeremy and Nate beginning at 3 o'clock. And then it's countdown to kickoff at 5. Kickoff just after 8:15 with Murph, Tasker, and Capaccio on the call. After the game, Mr. Shope, Mr. Bulldog will be around for their post-game show. And Nate Geary, around 1:30 in the morning, will bring you the overtime show. And then Sunday, you can talk Bills football as well. Joe and Louis DiBiase will be on from 10 to noon with a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. So we got you covered all weekend long. Sal on the way next, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.